Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. What do Michelle Obama, George Clooney and Prince Albert have in common? It may sound like the opening to a terrible joke, but it's actually a serious question. They've all been described by media commentators as trailing spouses, the phenomenon where one person in the partnership needs to leave their social and support network behind to follow the career ambitions of their loved one. But is it a life of luxury, or is it similar to life on Desperate Housewives' Wisteria Lane, where boredom on the surface leads to secrets and subterfuge underneath? To help me answer these questions and more, I'm joined by Jessica Nagler, partner president of the Luxembourg chapter of the International Dual Career Network, Santiago Franco, business analyst at Utmost, and RTL's very own Hayley Allam, host of Mom Life in Luxembourg, in my opinion, Luxembourg's leading mom influencer. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've listed what you do now, but I want to know what you did before you came to Luxembourg. Let's start with Hayley. From your inability to spell the word mum, my guess is that you're from the US. When you were in the US, like, what were you? What was your career?
I was in digital media sales. So actually, this is my second rodeo abroad being a trailing spouse.
And your first one was where?
In Dubai. That was a long time ago now. But yes, I was working for the Los Angeles Times as a regional director of digital sales. And my husband had the opportunity to open an office in Dubai. So I went with him.
And when you were in Dubai, did you work there?
I did.
In
media, okay. Yes, always media.
Jessica, what's your?
So before moving back to Luxembourg, I was working in digital marketing for pharmaceuticals.
There's a match there with marketing that we just made that connection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was buying the media, so you were selling, so
there you go.
Okay, and Santi, what's your?
I was working in Colombia in a fintech called Nequi. I was in product development, product manager, and this is my first rodeo, I will say, as a trailing spouse. Before that, I kind of have a mini rodeo because my wife was living in UK. Even live there 3 months working in a different time zone.
So let's get into your arrival story in Luxembourg. So I'm guessing, Jessica, that one of the things you did was look up the IDCN, the International Dual Career Network.
Exactly. My partner is working for one of the corporate partners of IDCN. So he already was informed about the organization before moving to Luxembourg. Hence, it was very easy for me to find this community and to join it.
The companies actually fund the IDCN, is that right? So it's not an open network.
And unfortunately, it's not an open network, but we always look for more corporate partners. So in the end, we can help all the trailing spouses in Luxembourg.
I guess there's something there where the companies may not realize that IDCN is a way to help their employees and their families settle.
Exactly. One of the reasons expats leave are because of their spouses not integrating well. So it's not only for social responsibility, but also for decreasing fluctuation in the long run.
And how did you get from finding out about the IDCN to being the chief?
So we are a volunteering organization. And whenever somebody leaves, we are always happy because that means somebody found a job, finally integrated professionally into Luxembourg. And so we have a high fluctuation in our organization, which eventually helped me to become the partner president. So I joined in April last year. And by September, I moved up the chain to be the leader of this organization.
So that shows it's working. You don't want to lead it for very long, right?
Because no.
Your mission is to find work and then someone else will take over.
Exactly. We always say we are the only organization where we are happy to see people leave. Whenever we have an event, we always say, okay, hopefully we don't see you next time.
So Hayley, how does that compare to your arrival in Luxembourg?
Mine was tough. Pro tip, don't move with a 7-month-old baby. I would say for the first 6 months, I did not have one nice thing to say about Luxembourg. I didn't really want to move here, but I knew that I could do it deep down because we had already moved to Dubai. And then before that, I studied abroad in Barcelona for a year. So I felt like, okay, I've been to Europe before, et cetera. But I don't speak French. I don't speak German. I certainly don't speak Luxembourgish, although I am in classes right now. And it was tough. So my husband went from a work from home gig where he traveled a lot, but when he was home, he was home. And I had little ones, to being in the office all day, every day. I remember when we first moved, the washing machine broke, and they sent some guys that spoke German and Arabic. Okay. And I was like, and my husband's not picking up the phone, and I just felt like I couldn't function as an adult. And that was actually part of the reason why I wanted to start the podcast.
Yeah, and how long between your arrival did it take for you to set up the podcast?
I arrived in September. I feel like I pitched it in the first year, and then I started recording, I think I started recording the following April. So not long. I knew I wanted to do this before I came here, because there wasn't, when in my research, I was looking for a podcast on Luxembourg. I wanted something besides the forums, because the forums are just tiny little snippets. I wanted something to wrap my head around what it was like to really live here, and I couldn't find it. So I decided to do it myself.
And Santi?
For us was a kind of a plan. So it was a completely move from Colombia, far, far away. I mean, you have family, leaving family, in my case, quitting my job. A lot of hard things, but we try to find like a purpose for me, because okay, we are moving here because of my wife's job, but we cannot say that we are coming here for you. So we wanted to find like, okay, let's find a purpose for you, Santi. And this is why I was looking for MBA. Okay, this is attractive. At some point I wanted to do it. So, okay, this is a good purpose to have. So before taking the decision to come here, let's find schools, universities. They have MBA. Okay, so now I have a purpose. And for me, it was a key element. I also have a motivation to come here.
So it wasn't a done deal that your wife was definitely going to do the move until you'd actually agreed as a family to go.
It was a family decision.
Hayley, on your podcast, you talk to lots of people in this sort of situation. Is that a typical thing where it's a joint decision, or is it often one person going and the other person is kind of loosely forced to or influenced?
Probably both, to be honest. Most of the time when I ask, tell me your Luxembourgish story, it's I came here for my husband's job, but we don't really go into the nitty gritty of...
How against that were you?
Yeah, but there are a lot of women who come on the show who left their career behind and then either... struggle to get a job here or get a totally different path and reinvent themselves. There's a lot of women here who pivot.
For me, it's really common that when you ask someone, you say, why are you here? I will say, because my wife got a really good opportunity, but we don't go deep in other motivations. Maybe trying to get deep, you will find your other people motivation as well.
Of course. And I think that there's always something a little bit deeper. It can't just be for the job and the financial reasons. Like for us, I think the nail in the coffin for deciding to leave was there was that big shooting in Texas of the kindergartners. Really? And my son was a kindergartner. And I was like, okay, well, it might be really cold and dark and miserable, but at least my kids won't get shot at school.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that was one of your motivations for coming.
Number one for me.
Most third national citizens I speak to, there's always a reason out of the family and being more secure, maybe through social security, which exists in Europe, maybe financially or anything else. It's always the security decision which brings the family here most of the time.
Just talk about third country nationals, which is Santi, Hayley and me as a third country national. You're the only original European when you moved here, and you'd worked in Luxembourg before.
Yes.
How keen were you to come back?
I'm a little bit of an odd case. I don't mind living anywhere as long as I have a warm place to stay and friends, which I already had in Luxembourg, and they stayed.
So you had that support network to some extent when you came here?
Yes, and I've lived so far in 9 different countries on 4 different continents. So I know that I'm quite easy to integrate. But beforehand, it was always me moving alone, me moving with a purpose. So career-wise, education-wise, this was the first time me being a trading spouse, and it's 200 times worse, 200 times harder. And interestingly, when me and my partner came here, we were not married, and we only married for the green card, I say, because I would need to leave after 3 months if I don't find a job, which I haven't. So we got married so I can stay. So even though there is free movement within the EU, it's not free movement forever.
There's some things don't quite work out. So you mentioned it was 200 times worse. So what we'll do now, we'll have a quick break. And when we get back, we'll dig into why it was 200 times worse and see what other problems that we found that you came across.
If you're a parent living in Luxembourg, then this is the podcast for you. Hi, I'm Haley, host of RTL Today's hit parenting podcast, Mom Life in Luxembourg. From crèches to crèmes, we'll cover everything you need to know about raising kids and living your best life in the Grand Duchy. New episodes are out now.
A risk to keeping your best people and maintaining our economy. The 2022 Permits Foundation survey found that a quarter of respondents were considering leaving due to work access restrictions. 44% of organisations reported employees left postings prematurely due to partner employment issues. But more importantly, is a massive missed opportunity. 88% of partners have a bachelor's degree or higher, more than half are not in work, and 84% of those want to work. Whichever way you look at it, the trailing spouse issue is something that needs to be fixed for the good of our economy. And I would say, more importantly, not as statistics, but for the actual individual people. So welcome back to Office Hours. And I want to open up where we finished off. And Jesse, you were saying that it's 200 times harder to move as a trailing spouse as opposed to a main career. What was the hardest part of it?
We don't know how much we identify with our work until we don't have any. As such, there's a loss of routine. I don't have to get up at 8 anymore, which sucks because I'm a morning person. So it didn't help. And the other thing is that the external validation, even though we all know we should not find validation externally from us, there's still a need for it. Without work, there's less of external validation, but it's also less of purpose and less of just personal growth and personal, I don't know, maybe it's also just me being very career driven. So just for me, it was always very important to do good and well at work. And all this was gone suddenly.
For me, this is a punch in the ego. When you say it's hard, for me was the hardest. In my case, I don't know, I was doing well in my job, really growing, feeling, I don't know why we think that we need these validations and we feel good and we feel amazing. And then you come here and out of a sudden, I mean, you stop doing a lot of things. Then it's like, okay, you start like asking yourself how much I value. You start putting a lot of things on your job site. And you start forgetting your personal side. For me, this has been a lot of personal growth, like a bunch of personal growth.
So Haley, this is your second rodeo, as you said. You mentioned you knew you were going to do the podcast when you arrived. Is this something that you experienced in your first rodeo?
Yes, I identify with both of your guys' statements. So my husband and I, before we had kids, kind of had this discussion where he was like very macho and like, I want to take the step forward in my career when you have babies and, you know, you can step back. And I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, that sounds fine. Like someone's got to do it, right? But then I was really good at what I did and I really loved working. And when I moved to Dubai, I wasn't really sure, but I was in media sales in California. And then I went and I got a job at like Arabian Business. And I was like, ooh, I don't want to work for Arabian Business, I don't think. So I used the opportunity to pivot. So then I actually went into media buying and I worked for the agency side. So like before I called on agencies, then I was the agency. So that was cool, but it was like my first pivot. And yes, for the time that I wasn't working, oh my God, I got so depressed. I would just sleep till noon. Like there was nothing to do. I didn't have any kids. You know, it was my first rodeo. But then I went back to work and that was great. But then back in California, I actually was working for Mindshare on Team Facebook, going up to Menlo Park every week. And my oldest was diagnosed with autism. And so then I just couldn't do everything. And then my husband was also traveling and blah, blah, blah. So I started consulting and that was fine because I had a network in California. Like my old boss hired me and I was like, by the way, I have two kids. One of them's autistic and I'm pregnant. He's like, you're hired. Okay, great. You know, but then when I moved here, I didn't have that network. Yeah. Unfortunately for me, unfortunately, the way the cookie crumbles is like I have three kids and someone has to, you know, man that ship. Yeah. And so I require a fair amount of flexibility. I would love to work. I think only boring people get bored. You know, I'm a doer. I don't identify as a stay-at-home mom. I do identify as a trailing spouse. You know, I look at my husband and yeah, he's in the grind. He's in the 9-to-5, but he has like a real salary and healthcare and dignity and doing this passion project that I think is a great service for the community. But like, I can't live off of this at all.
So Natasha followed me early in her career. Now I followed her. Listening to your stories, I think it's easier when you do it later in your career. When Natasha followed me, she told me the story. She, in Moscow, went to the British Women's Club, and the first thing she was asked to do as a new member was stand up and tell everyone what her husband's job was, which she refused to go back after that. Whereas when I followed Natasha, I had a 20-year career kind of behind me. I'd already accomplished stuff and felt validated. So it felt easier as an older person with that track record to move as opposed to someone younger in their career.
Yeah, and I think you can't underestimate also the juggling with the kids thing. Because when I moved to Dubai, we were dual income, no kids. So after a while, got a job, and then we were still dual income, no kids, living in Dubai, which is great because, you know,
party time.
Domestic labor is cheap, et cetera, yeah. But then moving abroad with three kids under, I think my oldest was six. That was intense.
So you mentioned about your child being diagnosed with autism.
Mm-hmm.
Moving to Europe, where social security is perceived to be better than the US. How did that work out?
How much time do you have? In California, they have lots and lots and lots of services, and they're all in English. So if you need occupational therapy, you need speech therapy, you need sensory integration therapy, that is all there. Easy to get. If you need a neurologist or a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I mean, these fields are so underserved in Luxembourg. And if you happen to be able to speak three languages and have a degree in any of this that can cater to children, I mean, you could like write your own ticket here. They just don't exist. So for example, we needed a full psychoeducational evaluation. That's part of the thing if you have autism that you got to do every couple of years to get accommodations for school. We had to go to the Netherlands. Mm. I know someone here who waited for their kid, I think 5 or 6 years for their diagnosis. And when it finally came, it was Asperger's. And Asperger's doesn't even exist in the DSM-5. So that's not even like the most up-to-date manual.
Yeah, DSM-5 is?
Diagnostic Statistical Manual. It's like every
the
possible...
The list of all the things that you could have.
Yeah.
So now you're here. How are you finding it? Santi, you've just started a new job recently. How's it going?
All good. We call it like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're down, sometimes you're up. Right now we are going up as a couple. Everything is moving forward. So I think it's also about time and about supporting each other. We moved here for the reason that we moved my wife. She has been really supportive with me. It was a family decision to come here. She is the best. She will be the best. But if she isn't the best way she can be, I know that I could be also in my best way.
It sounds like she's been a great support for you. Do you find, bluntly, as a man, there's less of a support network, less opportunities as a trailing spouse than for maybe if you came as a trailing wife?
Tough question. I really don't know. I have done a lot of friends, really, really good friend. For me, that was really good. I think my way of finding support was the beginning of sports. I tried many sports, like even just for one practice and get to know people, get in contact. I don't know if as a man this is a way to do it because anyone can practice a sport, but that was my way. If I compare to the women and men, I find that there are more groups that support women. That is a reality.
I think, Hayley, you've done an episode on this on Mom Life in Luxembourg.
I was going to say, actually, so I did interview when the trailing spouse is a dad. I interviewed Colin Bass, and he also said sports.
He's rugby?
He's lacrosse.
Lacrosse. He said sports, and then there's some forum, I think it's called like Lux Dads or something. You're nodding your head, you know that?
Yes. There's a WhatsApp group for Luxembourgish dads. A friend of mine is also part of it, and he really enjoys it.
Okay.
Particularly when his child was a little bit younger, it helped him a lot to find other dads, but also with every same question.
I don't know that many trailing dads, but the ones that I know are genuinely quite happy.
That's good to hear. I imagine it's one of the few places in life where it's actually tougher to be the man because there's... fewer people in the same situation around you. Okay. So if you've got one piece of advice then for people currently trailing spouses or maybe thinking about being trailing spouses, what would it be?
What I see across the board from all of the people that I've interviewed when I say, tell me your Luxembourgish story, the first thing you have to do is join something. So whatever it is, if it's singing, if it's sewing, if it's the American Women's Club, if it's lacrosse, rugby, whatever you're into, you have to make an effort to do things like that. If you have children and you can integrate through that community, I do think that that gives you a way softer landing. and the community is there to help you, much more welcoming. That's an option. Integrate through your kids, whatever. Just find something that you're interested in and do it and meet people that way.
It is something, though, that's very difficult if you've had your identity about work and then suddenly you're known as little Johnny's mom or little Johnny's dad, as opposed to being, you know, Haley the media magnate.
I like that title, and for sure. I agree. Yeah. That's where I think a lot of people that I've had on the show reinvent themselves. Because maybe their industry's not here, maybe they can't get a job for whatever reason, or they don't want to take a massive pay cut, et cetera. And so they just end up kind of pivoting and doing some entrepreneurial, mompreneurial job. And there's a lot of women out there that are doing that.
Do you feel as though you've pivoted on your arrival here?
I honestly don't know. So right before coming to Luxembourg, I actually pivoted my career and found something which I was very happy with.
So you don't want to pivot?
I'm a little bit scared to pivot again, to be honest, because what I've done before working in marketing was not aligned with my values. So it really hurt my character, my personality.
And I guess if you do pivot again, you're then in that situation where you apply for jobs and all the job adverts want 10 years of experience and then you've got less experience. So that's a challenge.
So one thing at the moment is that the economy is not the best, globally speaking, and our organization works very closely with the recruiters of our corporate partners. And obviously one of the questions is always career transitions. And some recruiters tell right now is not the time for it. It's very, very, very hard. Also in Luxembourg, they look for plug and play kind of employees. So people who have worked exactly, precisely, even with the same software as they ask for. It just makes it harder. And with having more than 1,000 applications for one position, depending which company, you will just not meet the threshold at the moment.
Yeah. I find this insane when I moved to Luxembourg. People would say to me, there's no oil and gas here, Adam, so you won't get a job here. I'm like, but the problem isn't the oil and gas. It's just physics, right? The problem is dealing with people. That's the skill that people have is those human touches.
Yeah, unfortunately, the recruiter here are very, sometimes, not all, obviously, but some recruiters here are very conservative and risk averse.
It's insane because you hear people talking about a skills shortage in Luxembourg and that we have all these skilled people, which may not be plug and play. They may not know. You know, I may have worked on Windows, not Linux, but it doesn't really matter, right?
The gap is not really the skills. For our community, we have 90% bachelor degrees and 60% with masters and PhDs overall. But these are not the jobs they're looking for. So they're more looking for manual labor, for nursing. And for nurses, everybody coming outside Europe will not get accredited their degree because in Luxembourg, they have a little bit of a different system. So a lot of people who actually would be willing and would be good fit to Luxembourg job market can't work here because of them not being accredited.
Third country or?
Third country.
Okay, so it's the recognition of other qualifications.
Yes, within the EU, they can't discriminate against their certification. They need to ask for certain language capabilities. And that's also another issue which make people work for getting B2 level in French and German and sometimes Luxembourgish. That takes a while.
So the free movement of people isn't as free as you might think within the EU when you put some of these rules in place. Interesting. We got slightly off track. One piece of advice, though, that you've got, we've had, get involved from Haley. What would your piece of advice be, Santi?
For me, I would say it's a teamwork. It's a team effort. We mentioned it before. For me, it's okay, find a purpose for the other person that is not moving because of a specific job position.
So it's almost that preparation, that team effort of coming has made yours a success, that you were really aligned before you came and it made it a real joint decision.
For me, yes, it's a preparation.
Jesse, what would your piece of advice be? I bet it's going to be get your employing company to join the the IDCN or look up the IDCN. Any other piece of advice is in addition to that?
Exactly. Also for trailing spouses, ask your partner's company to join IDCN. No, I just agree with find a purpose, join something, talk with your partners openly about anything. Also, don't be discouraged, and you not finding a job right away has nothing to do with your value or with your identity. We are all just valid human beings.
So actually having a support network, meeting people that then are in such similar circumstances can help provide that emotional support, if anything else.
Exactly.
One of the hardest things is like losing my network. Mm. I move from Colombia, family, friends, colleagues, you know, people that can introduce you to something else. Here is, you start fresh. Who can recommend me? I make a friend in the first month. I mean, he or she doesn't know me enough to recommend me to a position or whatever. So for me, this is the hardest thing. But I would say a good recommendation is start building your network immediately. For example, right now, the job that I have, I mean, it was not through an application. It was through someone that introduced me, another person, and then I did apply. But for me, building the network is massive.
So my piece of advice would be go to series 4 of Office Hours and listen to the episode about networking. My own plug. Excellent. So let's look to the future then. So what do IDCN, do they have events coming up like...
Yes, so we just had an event last week with recruiters, but we will have a similar event upcoming with the British Chamber of Commerce next May, and there will be an event about AI and application with the European Court of Auditors in September.
Okay, and whilst to become a member, you need to be associated with one of the sponsoring companies.
Exactly, the partner.
Can people find out news so they can influence? Where would they find out the news about this?
www.idcn.info. The website or on our IDCN LinkedIn page, IDCN Luxembourg. And if they have any question, feel free to reach out.
So Santi, what's next for you? Do you think you'll stay around in Luxembourg?
Yes, I think it's a great place to be. We are happy. It's a life that we are enjoying. At some point, really long term, we see that going back to our place, Colombia, could be a right decision. Why? Again, our network, thinking about having family, but also when I see similar families that are having the same experience, they arrive here and say, no, we are going back to our countries. Then they have the kids here and change their opinion. So
you never know.
Yes, it's a really open question.
I actually have a piece of advice to give about that, having done 2 tours abroad. So in Dubai, we never fully committed. So we never got a car. I feel like we rented a car, which was really stupid. I don't know that we ever had any money in like a local bank account. Everything was very temporary. And I think that was a mistake. So this time when we came, we bought the car, we bought the big American fridge and the washer dryer, and we committed for however long it's going to last, we're going to live like we're living here.
We found that when we were sent abroad, we were in rented accommodation, so it never felt like your own. You're always living in someone else's house. You can't change the decorations and the walls, and really staying somewhere and making it yourself where you are makes a big difference to how you feel about a place, both in, actually, when we've moved within the UK and moved abroad.
And I get that. It's like a self-preservation mode. You always want to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out or whatever, but like if you're here, you're here. It would make your life easier.
Just out of curiosity, how familiar are you apart from your inner family, like your mother, I mean, the grandfather,
how
of
close
like,
am I?
Yes, uncles, all these things, how close you are?
We're pretty close. My sister doesn't live in California, she lives in Florida. So it was my parents that we left. And I understand as they get older, you know, that's the thing that all expats have to kind of grapple with. In fact, I interviewed a psychologist on my show who kind of helps specifically with those kinds of issues.
Because we have realized that what attaches us more to thinking about going back, more about the people, the country, not the roots of the country. That is wonderful, amazing, we love it. But the main point are the people.
Yeah, and that's a decision everybody's got to make, right? You only have so much time on this earth. And the reality is, if you have aging parents, they're not going to be around forever. Mm. So if you want to be near them, then you got to be near them.
And it doesn't matter if you're from the neighboring country or from a different continent. The giggle is always there.
And it's extra fun when you have 2 sets of parents who live in different continents. And then the whole family is giving you a hard time that you're not spending enough time with each of them. That's a treat. That's an expat treat.
That smile on your face tells me that you may be lying. And Haley, what's happening? Next series of Mom Life in Luxembourg?
I'm just wrapping this season now, and I've got a list in my head of guests that I want to start pitching for the next season.
But. Okay, we need to coordinate because you keep stealing my guests.
Luxembourg's a small town.
Yeah, it is. It is. We need to make sure we coordinate and ask them different questions, at least if we do end up with the same guest.
For sure, we're going to ask different questions. It's a totally absolutely. Different topic. But I did just want to say one thing that one of my guests, her name's Diana Reed, she's a nutritionist here, who I think did pivot. She said Luxembourg has the highest population of overqualified, underemployed women probably on the planet.
We'll draw it to a close now. So I think there's a few things in there. If you are a trailing spouse, then get out there, network, find your people, find your tribe. If you're not a trailing spouse, encourage your company to tap into that pool of talented people. There are an opportunity there waiting to be grasped. And please think creatively about how you can use their skills. So I want to say thank you very much for coming in. And thank you to the listeners.
Don't forget to listen to Mom Life in Luxembourg.
Do that as well.